often when the devil's attacking us through that one stubborn sin that keeps coming back again and again in our lives. We're on the back foot. We're on the defensive. My hunch is that it's time for you to get on the front foot. The question is, how? Hi, I'm Bernie Diamond and welcome to the program. Now today we're going to be taking another look at that one stubborn sin in your life from a different perspective. Stubborn sin. Sin that we just can't shift. Sin that keeps on keeping on long after we'd hoped that we would have defeated it is a fact in many, many people's lives. And over the course of this week, we've seen that not only does God understand that, but he wants to give us weapons full of his divine power right in the middle of our weaknesses to defeat the stubborn sin, to defeat the devil. Jesus died and rose again to give us victory, to give us a new life. And so whilst stubborn sin is commonplace, it's not normal and it's not what we're meant to be living with. In fact, this is something that God takes so seriously. He sends his only son, not just to die to pay for all our sin on the cross, but to rise again to give us a new life. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says that if anyone believes in Jesus, then that person is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and look, all things are new. So while many a Christ follower is convinced that their particular brand of stubborn sin is just a fact of life, just something they have to live with for the rest of their days here on earth, that's a luxury that the gospel of Jesus Christ simply doesn't afford us. Jesus came to set us free from every sin. And today we're going to continue our look at the practical how-to. How do we lay hold of God's divine power to allow ourselves to be set free by God of sin? Sin and its painful consequences. Now, this is something that frankly puzzled me for a long time. First, I thought I had to do it all. And so I fought against the devil and I tried to resist him and overcome these temptations. But as strong-willed an individual as I am, it just didn't work. I ended up lying bloodied and beaten and discouraged and dejected on the battlefield. Okay, that didn't work. So I'll leave it all up to God. I'll sit back and I'll let God do it all. But let me tell you, the old spiritual couch potato model didn't work either. And it wouldn't amaze me at all to know that you've been there too, right? So the question is, how do we make it work? What's God's part? What's our part? Come on, how do we break free from the power of that one stubborn sin that keeps on defeating us? Well, yesterday we discovered that not only do accountants have double-entry bookkeeping, not only did Isaac Newton discover that in physics and in nature, every action has an equal and opposite reaction, but when it comes to defeating sin, this spiritual transaction too is double-sided. And it's in the double-sidedness of the transaction that we discover our role and God's role. If you were with us yesterday, you'll have heard this scripture, James chapter 4, verses 7 to 8. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, O sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Do you see the double-sidedness in this? It's not just about racing out and resisting the devil. That's a game we can't win at. First, submit yourselves to God. That's the God side of the ledger. And then on the devil's side, at the same time, resist him. And the combination of those two things, submitting ourselves to God and resisting the devil, mean that the devil has to flee, that he's defeated. That's because when we submit to God, listen to this, we lay hold of his power. And then, and only then, do we have the power to resist the devil. And once he sees that power at work, my friend, he's on his bike and out of there because he and all his demons must submit to the name that is above all names, the name of Jesus Christ. Now, the danger is that we leave it there and we don't get down and practical enough to give us something to take away to implement. So I want to get deeper today. I want to get into the how-to so that each one of us knows how to live out this submission to God and resist the devil. Submit to God plus resist devil equals devil must flee. And the solution is overcoming stubborn sin. The first example I want to give you is one that jumped out at me at a Bible study group. Have a listen. It's the Apostle Paul on death row writing to his friends at Philippi, telling them how not to worry. Listen and see if you can pick up the double-sidedness of God's solution to not worrying. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I remember sitting in a Bible study group and we talked about worry and people hedged around this and they prepared to move on from it without taking God at his word. Worry is sin. People who trust in God needn't worry. Worry falls a long way short of living the life of abundant peace that God purchased for us on that cross. What this passage says is this. Look, here's the solution to overcoming the sin of worry. Instead of worrying, instead of spending your time doing that, replace that with praying and giving thanks to God and telling him your needs. First, submit to God. See what's going on here? This is God's way of dealing with the problem, the sin of worry. First, submit to him. Do it his way. Take the time that you would have spent worrying and instead use that same time to give thanks and to pray and to make your needs known. See, the devil loves throwing doubts up in our mind. He loves it when we're discouraged. How to deal with him? Submit to God. Do it God's way. And the promise is that when we do that, the promise of God is that the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. What just happened here? God's weapon of divine power has been brought into play. We have a confidence that comes from God because we did this his way in faith. And so the devil ceases to have the power to fester this sin of worry. Now, stand in this newfound power from God and watch the devil flee. The secret is in proactively replacing the bad with God. Proactively stepping into this space and saying, no. This is from the devil. My only answer is to submit to God. Now I discover his divine power in my weakness. Now I can resist. Now the devil must flee. Let's have another quick look at another practical example. It has to do with the things we say that hurt other people. Have a listen again to the double-sided solution. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. Let no evil talk come out of your mouths, but only what is useful for building up as there is need, so that your words may give grace to those who hear. How do I stop evil talk from coming out of my mouth? Do I just sit there and try and hold my tongue? No, that's not what this verse says. God's saying, instead, proactively replace it with my way. Instead, speak the things that are good and useful for building others up. Give them my grace when they hear your words. Replace the bad with God. Deliberately step in with God's way and not our way. When we're tempted to grumble, when we're tempted to pull someone down, let encouraging words come out of your mouth. The devil's power is lost. Then, having submitted to God, we can stand and resist the devil. Let me tell you, the way I learned this is simple. I sat down and thought about my weaknesses. I identified them. I looked through the Bible and found a simple verse to tell me when I'm in a situation where I'm prone to live out this particular stubborn sin, what is it that I can do to submit to God right there and then? And so when I found myself in that place, I decided to submit to God. I remembered God's word, and little by little, God changed me. Little by little, the devil had to flee. He had no choice. This is something that we can apply to any sin and any situation. It'd be just like God to make it simple, wouldn't it? Before we go, I'd just like to remind you that if you have a prayer need, we would love to pray for you. Listen, the only sort of prayer that the Bible teaches about is the sort that has powerful results. Just let that sink in. The only sort of prayer that the Bible teaches about is the sort that has powerful results. So if you'd like us to pray with you, in fact, if you'd like our whole prayer community to pray with you, stop by online at powerfulprayer.org to share your prayer request. It's completely confidential. Your name won't be displayed. And in fact, while you're there, perhaps you could pray for one or two others and leave them an encouraging word as well. The Bible says that the prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. So let us pray for you and with you. And let's just see what God does, how he intervenes, how he chooses to bless you. That web address again is powerfulprayer.org. I'm Bernie Diamond. I'll catch you again same time Monday with a different perspective.